about themselves. People like to talk about themselves. Are you with me today? Amen. People like to talk about themselves. But one thing I discovered that even though people like to talk about themselves, there's one more thing that they like to do, even more so than talking about themselves. They like to talk about other people's business. People like to talk about other people's business. And maybe I'm the only one that's experienced it since I ain't getting no amens in here. So, but what I've discovered is that people like to talk about other people's business. And it's interesting, my brothers and sisters, because we talk about other people's business, but we don't want folks to talk about us. And yet it is so easy to do what we call gossip. Everybody say gossip. Gossip. And today we want to talk a little bit about gossip. This is what I want to do in this particular message, is I want to talk about gossip and what it looks like. And then on the second part of this message, I want to talk to us about what is it that people should really be talking about. And so in this particular message, I want us to look at some things. There's a woman named Jennifer. Jennifer Johns wrote an article. She wrote an article about gossip. She wrote an article about gossip and the dangers of gossip. And she used a particular verse in Proverbs 18:8. Proverbs 18:8. You can write that down. In Proverbs 18:8, it says that telling someone's business, I'm paraphrasing, telling someone's business is like eating a sweet morsel. It's like eating a sweet morsel or a sweet treat. And then the second part of the verse says, it goes down to the very bowels of a man. Now guess what the scripture is saying? Guess what the writer of that proverb is saying? He's saying that when you talk about somebody or when you get information about somebody, it's sweet and it tastes good. But really, when it comes out as nothing good at all. It's saying, it's like eating a sweet treat. Let me just see if I can get you to understand it this way. It's like eating a treat that's real rich and sweet, and it runs right through you. Y'all get the image now, what I'm saying? That's Proverbs. That's not me saying it. Proverbs said that, and it's saying that when you get information, it's sweet going in. Like, man, I got some good information on so-and-so. I know so-and-so's business. But the truth be told, then when you release it, it ain't nothing but, okay, I know I'm at breakthrough, and I wish I really could say it the way I really, really want to say it. But the proverb says that when you allow it to come out, it is the same as you going to the restroom after eating a sweet treat. That's what it says gossip is. And y'all can put it in any kind of vernacular you want to put it in to understand it, but that's what the word of God said, that it is something wrong with a person that gets information and shares it without the permission of the person they're talking about. And this may not be one of those messages I'm going to get a whole lot of response from, because some of us are like, man, I just got off the phone before I came in church talking about sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so. But here it is. Jennifer Johns writes this article about the different types of gossip. And see if you fall into any of these categories, or the conversation, the last conversation you had falls under one of these categories. First of all, she says one type of gossip is slander. Everybody say slander. Slander is defined as spreading rumors or lies about a person to cause damage purposely. It is telling a lie about somebody. And this particular type of gossip can get you in legal trouble. If you're telling a lie about somebody and you're hurting their business or you're hurting their reputation and they cannot produce for a certain reason, they can sue you. Slander. It is telling a lie about someone. It is spreading something about somebody that is not true. And you can look at Colossians 3:8 for a verse reference for that. But this is what it says. It says, now you must rid yourselves of all these types of things. The Bible says you need to get it out of your mouth, lying on somebody. You need to get it out of your mouth. You need to get it out of your mouth, telling something about somebody that you don't know to be true, because you could be slandering them. James 4:11 says, brothers, do not slander one another. Just simple and plain. Don't slander one. Because, and he says it to believers. that believers in the body of Christ can spread stuff about other believers that is not true. I know it's shocking, isn't it? that could possibly happen, that somebody can put your name on their mouth and say something that's not true about you. Believers. So slander is the first one. The second one she suggests is dishing. Dishing. D-I-S-H-I-N-G. Dishing. And this is basically dishing for dirt. Basically means sharing juicy info you learned about someone. And the intent may not be to directly cause damage, but by keeping the gossip alive, it continues to spread and taint the image of the person it's about. Nobody in here has ever done anything like that. We dishing out dirt, you know, just telling, you know, just sharing some information. Yeah, because I heard that such and such didn't do such and such. Dishing the dirt. And it's so easy for us to get caught up in gossip. Amen. Proverbs 20:19 says this, that gossip betrays a confidence. So avoid a man or a woman who talks too much. I mean, that's the Bible, y'all. That's not Pastor Carson. The Bible says if she talk too much, hang up the phone. If she talk too much, delete her email. If she stop hanging out with her, you know she talks too much. That's what it says. And then James 5:9 says, don't grumble against one another or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. What judge? Not talking about Judge Millions. Not talking about Judge Joe Brown. Talking about God. If you run your mouth about somebody else, God will judge you. Amen. That's it. I can close the book right there and we can go home. You need to know if you run your mouth. You can go ahead. Go ahead and run your mouth if you want to about somebody. But remember that God is going to judge you. Amen. All right. The third thing she says is rumors. We know this. Rumors. You hear something. It's not good. And it's also not confirmed as true. You hear something. It's not a good thing. And it's not confirmed whether or not it's true. But you still tell it all. You still tell it all. You still tell someone or ask someone else about it to get more info. And then the rumor mill begins to turn and turn and turn until the gossip spreads. You find some information out, but you don't even know if it's true. But you still tell it. That's gossip. And that is for rumors. You hear something, you're not sure, and you spread it. Proverbs 13:3 says, he who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. In other words, if you control your mouth and you don't speak about other people's things, it says that's a good person. But he who cannot control his mouth or her mouth is going to come into some trouble. Rumors. The next one is backbiting. Backbiting. Everybody say backbiting. Okay, this is a type of gossip that involves speaking spiteful or slanderous words about another who is not present and can do nothing in defense. It's secretive, and the Bible actually mentions it by name. The Bible, actually, the writer of Proverbs 22 and 23 says, the north wind brings forth rain and a backbiting tongue, angry looks. In other words, it's saying that if you are a backbiter is somebody, I don't know who it was. I don't know if it was the OJs or whoever it was, but they said that they smile in your face and all the while they're stabbing you in the back. That's backbiters. In other words, they will look at you and they will say that they love you and they'll hug you and all of that, but they'll talk about you like a dog behind your back. Anybody know anybody like that? Be careful. Be careful. Backbiting. And in Psalm 101:5, listen to this. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. That's God saying that through the psalmist. He says, if you talk about something, you secretly destroy somebody else. You know how some of us do? Some of us would try to play like we didn't have anything to do with that person's information getting out there. Or we'll do something secretive. But guess what? They may not have seen you do it, but God saw everything that you did. and the Bible says that you better be careful about that, because that kind of stuff, then now you have to fall into the hands of him. That's it right there. Why ain't y'all saying amen? What's going on? Listen, the next one. Listen to this. This one got me. I'm like, okay, here we go. This one, not really joking type of jokes. Here it is. Have you ever taken some part of truth and turned it into a joke about someone that makes others question their character? It also serves as a passive way to spread more gossip. Here's an example. Maybe he will actually get off the couch today long enough to do some work around the house. Ha ha, you're making a joke. Maybe she'll get off the couch long enough. You're making a joke, but you're really putting something in there trying to tell some information about that person. Every single one of us has either heard it or we've said it. Those types of little jokes that are suggesting something about a person, revealing something about a person, and then we find ourselves wondering, why is that person not trusting us? Not really joking type of jokes. Here's another word that we like to use for that, is sarcasm. We like to say people are being sarcastic. But really, if you listen to what that person is saying, that person is really saying something about the person who is the subject of that sentence. All right? And then, planting seeds. Everybody say planting seeds. The Bible tells us we reap what we sow. With that in mind, this type of gossip is said in such a way to make the listener question or assume something about the character of a person. There's an example. Isn't it weird how he keeps staring at your wife when you're not looking? Now think about that statement, that question. Now somebody say that to me, it's on and popping. I'm just being for real. I'm like, okay, because then that's going to make me do what? That's going to make me watch that person. Now that I may not have even noticed. But that person, somebody coming to me and saying that, is starting some stuff. They're getting something started. And so we've got to be careful. They planted a seed in my mind. I need to watch that person. That's what happens. That's all part of gossip. Because that person may be watching. Well, I don't know if it's any justified reason to be watching somebody's wife. But, and I'm biased on that. Yeah, I'm biased. But we've got to be so careful in planting seeds of discord in people's minds. And we do that kind of stuff. Well, you know, such and such probably don't go to church because of such and such. Or such and such doesn't give. Or such and such doesn't do this. Or such and such. Planting seeds of discord. And then so therefore, the person that is hearing it is going to look at that person differently. Be very, very careful. All right, the next one. Got this all wrong, gossip. Got this all wrong. Oh, I'm sorry, whispered innuendo. That's the next one, right? Whispered innuendo. Similar to what we just said, these subtle insinuations can mislead others into thinking wrong thoughts, especially if the conclusions are based on gossip. And there's an example. It's interesting how he was out of town the night that she was murdered. That's an insinuation. You're insinuating, that probably was an excuse, an alibi or something. There's an insinuation that the person hearing it then takes. Proverbs 26 and 30 says this, for lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, contention quiets down. These are people that whisper innuendos. Well, you know, she really wasn't out of town when she was absent from church. You know, I saw her at the store, you know. I mean, just innuendos, they're suggesting certain things. They're putting things out there. And that's all part of gossip. And it's causing people to talk about others in a way that is not appropriate. And then the last thing, got this all wrong type of gossip. You admit you probably got it wrong. Listen to this, just because y'all know somebody like this. You admit you probably got it wrong. You don't have all the facts. You're not even sure if this is accurate in any way, shape, or form. But you spread it anyway. All right, all right. You still say it because it's still touching on some points that could be true. It's just juicy, y'all. It's, you know, I think I may have heard this thing wrong. I was in the other room. I was, you know, it was two rooms down on another building on another street. But I heard this. I'm not sure if it's right. And we still spread it. This is what I think I heard. I hear us do this quite a bit with celebrities. Because we all know. We don't know what they're doing. We only know what TMZ is telling us. We only know what the internet is telling. But yet we will say stuff as if those stars are our best friends and we know everything about their lives. I hear this quite a bit with that. Got this all wrong type of gossip. And we don't apologize when we find out it's not correct either. We don't go back and say, you know what, I totally messed up. Kanye didn't say that. He didn't do that. Well, Kanye probably did, but we Bad pastor. All right. So you see these different types of gossip. Anybody recognize any of that? Anybody ever had to deal with any of that? Anybody sitting here mad right now? And the only reason you at church is so that you don't whoop somebody up because they did number 2 through 5. I'm just saying, we've got to be so careful because gossip is real. Gossip is real. Folks are going to talk about you anyway. People are going to talk about you, and listen, it's human nature. We're going to talk about other folks. It's how you talk about. It's what you talk about. It's how you say, listen, I was researching and I looked and I found a study that was done on gossip. Now watch this, Nika, because Nika always makes fun of these studies that are done and all this money that is spent on these studies. But listen, the reason that they did the study on gossip is because they recognized that there was a correlation between gossip and violence. That's why they did the study, because they had to go back to the source of why is all this violence happening? Because somebody opening up their mouth and telling lies or spreading stuff about people that they can't even, the person is not even in front of them. And I said all that, my brothers and sisters, to bring us right back to the text. Because in the context of 1 Peter chapter 3, in this context, the believers are dealing with gossip gone wild. They're dealing with what's called persecution. Everybody say persecution. It's persecution because people who do not want Christianity to spread are talking bad about these new believers. And they are talking so bad about them that it is causing their very lives to be in danger. And they've been thrown in jail and they're facing death and all of these different things. Why? Because somebody is spreading stuff about Christians. Some of it is accurate, some of it is inaccurate, but it is all causing a mess of stuff. And so what Peter does in this particular passage of scripture is so crucial, because instead of Peter saying, go somewhere and crawl up in the corner and don't come out your house and just hide away from it, Peter says, you need to take this head on. And instead of you being worried about what they're talking about, this is what you need to do. You need to control what they're talking about and give them something to talk about. And in the text, he gives them 3 different things that they ought to help the people to talk about that is doing all this gossip. And I'm going to share this with us because it's relevant to each of us, and then I'll take my seat. The first thing that we ought to give people to talk about is how we love the Lord. Yeah, that's what we ought to give. People ought to be talking about believers and how we love the Lord. Look at what he says in the first verse. He says, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Some translation says sanctify Christ as Lord. What that is talking about is that he is suggesting to them that when you are worrying about what other people are saying, you ought to be mindful to recognize that you ought to put as a priority what is God saying about you. And he says you ought to show how you love the Lord. Why? Because you recognize and understand that no matter what man says to you, it pales into comparison to what God has said about you. And so keep that in your heart. Keep that in your mind. Don't worry about what people are talking about. Seek after what does God have to say about you and your life. How you love the Lord is important. He says that word revere. Everybody say revere. It is important to understand that he's saying that we have to hold God to the highest esteem. To the highest esteem. Now, what does that have to do with gospel? What does that have to do with all of that? Because the people were starting to focus in on their own image and what was being said about them. They were starting to focus in on, man, my name is being scarred. My name is mud out there. My name is this. My name. Who cares about your name? It's about the name of Jesus that really matters. That's what Peter is saying. He said, don't worry about your name as long as the name of Jesus is being magnified. Some people will focus in on your name because the truth be told, your name and my name is really not worth very much. But when our name is associated with the name that is above all names, the name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess, when our name is associated with that name, then it helps us out. And he's saying you need to recognize that it's really not about you. And keep the focus on Jesus. Keep the focus on the name above all names. Keep the focus there, because when you begin to buy into what's being said, it becomes depressing. Then you find yourself afraid. Then you find yourself wanting to retaliate. Come here, y'all. Don't leave me hanging out here. Let me help you with something. Don't you think or remember whenever somebody has said anything negative about you, how often did you really think about God when somebody was talking about you? It's amazing how that just goes. When your name is on the line, you want to clear your name. I want to clear my name. And Peter is saying, you're worried about that. You're concerned about that. You're concerned about them coming after you and talking about you and this and that. But here's the key to what Peter is telling them. The only way that you can be able to focus back on Jesus' name is what they're talking about. Is what they're referring to. Is it a result of you magnifying Jesus' name? Or are they talking about something that glorifies your name? And so here it is. When you look at what people are talking about in your life, it gives you opportunity to be able to examine, are they really telling the truth? I know y'all don't like this. I'm sorry, but I got to do my assignment. Listen, they may be telling the truth. And no, they should not be talking about you. No, they should not. Listen, I've been the topic of meetings I wasn't invited to. You know, I'm like, man, how in the world y'all gonna have a meeting without me? But I focus on me. Then I start focusing in on me. But as long as I'm doing the work of Jesus, that's all I need to be concerned about. Because if they're talking about me as I am doing the work of Jesus, then it's Jesus that will handle that situation. But if it's me, you know, Cobbs did such, then even that is an opportunity to redirect back to Jesus. He says, have reverence in your heart for the Lord. So even if somebody's talking about Will and it's the truth and it's something that Will did, he messed up, he blew it, Will redirect that back to Jesus. Now this may sound easier said than done, because some of us, you know, Will is a big guy. If somebody says something about Will, Will might punch him in their jaw, you know, and straight knock him out. But that's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to refer back to Jesus. And here's what this means. When he says have reverence for the Lord in your heart, he says put Jesus on the throne of your heart. Because then when people begin to talk about you, even if they're telling something that's truthful, Jesus is in control of how you respond. Y'all don't miss that thing. That, because somebody gonna get talked about this week. And you better have Jesus on the throne. Because if you're on the throne, you're gonna get up and ready to and buck up against that person and want to hurt somebody. Make sure Jesus is on the throne of your heart. That's what he's saying. And so if you're going to give them something to talk about, give them something to talk about how much you love the Lord and how you have placed Jesus in the throne of your heart. Amen? Amen. Second thing. If you're going to give them something to talk about, not only how you love the Lord, but what have you learned about the Lord? What have you learned about the Lord? Look what he says in the next portion of the verse. He says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. That's a huge one, my brothers and sisters, because these people were confronting the believers. They were saying, so you claim to be a Christian, you believe in Jesus Christ, you follow in Jesus Christ. And they had a choice to make, because if I say yes, I'm going to endure some persecution. They're going to talk about me. I may lose some business. I may lose my life, whatever. But he's saying, you always be ready to give an explanation. Now listen, he's using an informal phrase right there. He's not saying that you have to be theologically educated to be able to explain who Jesus is. That's not what he's saying. He's saying you ought to be ready to answer somebody if they say, are you a follower of Jesus? I sure am. Why are you a follower of Jesus? You need to be able to explain why you claim do what you claim to believe. And some of us, if I ask right now for you to explain why you are in church, our explanation would be, because that's the way I grew up. That's not what Peter is looking for. Some of us would say, I didn't have anything else to do today. That's not the answer that Pastor Cobb looking for. Some of us would answer, because my family member invited me. That's great. That's a method of you getting here. But why are you in church? What is the purpose of church? Why are you claiming that you believe in Jesus Christ? And some of us cannot articulate what we claim to believe. And so what will happen is this. Now, this is where the rumors and all the gossip and all that stuff comes in. Because people who knew you from way back when, who knew that you were a sinner, who knew that you closed down the clubs, who knew that you slept around, who knew that you did all these things, when they ask you, so you're a Christian now? They are asking you from the perspective of how they know you. So your answer has to be letting them know, I am no longer that, and here's why. And most of us have difficulty being able to do that. Come here, let me tell you a secret. Saying that you go to church ain't good enough. It's not good enough. I'm not the same sinner. I'm not the same person because now I go to church. So what? The devil go to church. He ain't going to heaven. Don't look around and say, "What the devil? You the devil? You the devil?" Listen. We got to be careful. We have to be able to articulate. What is it that you believe? What is it that took you from a hoochie to being holy? What is it that took you from being a thug to talking theology? What is it that took you from one point to another? What is it that changed your life? Are you able to explain to someone who you are in Christ Jesus now? That's what he's saying. You have to be ready at all times to be able to explain. Because if you don't, you are feeding the rumor mill. You're feeding it. But if you're able to explain it, you're throwing water on it because you are able to redirect that thing to Jesus. Amen? How you love the Lord. What you have learned about the Lord. And then the last thing, this is so you can give them something to talk about. They're going to talk about you anyway. Give them something to talk about. Talk about this, how you live your life. How you live your life. Notice what Peter says. He says you need to be ready at all times to give a defense of what you believe. But he says, but do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior may be ashamed of their slander. He says, people are going to talk about you anyway, but the best way for you to refute any of those rumors and gossip is how you live your life. How you live your life. And let me say this to the believers, to us as believers. We've got to stop thinking that we can live any kind of way and God will forgive us of whatever we do. Now, I'm not going to get into a theological debate about it, because you are forgiven because Jesus died on the cross and he paid for sins past, present, and future. That's true. We know that. But he is not just going to let us just sit up and just do whatever we want to do in his name. Some of us are predators upon people in Jesus' name. And do you not know that he will set that straight? You cannot live your life any kind of way and still claim, but I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. Over 70% of this country says that it's Christian. If it was 70% Christian, this country would be totally different.
Amen.
And so some of us who claim that, who say that, we have to make sure that our lives reflect that. Reflect that. If everybody know that you're going to be laid out, drunk, high, with somebody, if everybody know that, stop lying. Calling yourself a Christian. Stop it. Because you are adding to the rumor and the rumor mill that them Christians ain't about nothing. Christians are a bunch of hypocrites. And you may be thinking that it's the old mother with a church hat that's giving Christians a bad name. But it's not that who's giving Christian. It's the one who's sleeping around with everybody, don't even know their names, and then going up into church singing. Okay, I'm done. I need to stop. How you live your life, give them something to talk about. You know, give them something to talk about. We tired of talking about your mess. We want to talk about your message. Give them something to talk about. Let them talk about Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to